Morning. Good to see everyone. Get your teaching outline out. We're on chapter 15. If you're a guest, we're going 31 chapters through the Bible. And hopefully most of you had time to read this chapter. It's a tremendous chapter, a lot of stuff in here. I can only touch on a few things this morning. It's titled God's Messengers in Your Story Bible. I'm titling it Lessons from the Prophets. There's actually four prophets referred to in this chapter. We sometimes talk about the upper story of God's great plan. Well, this chapter shouts, probably more than any other, maybe after chapter one, of how God operates, what his character is, what he is about, his compassion and his redemptive work. We studied last week the kingdom got divided. They had a bunch of bad kings. What kind of shape were the kingdoms in at this point? Pretty sad shape, right? And so rather than letting them go down this path of destruction, God sends prophets with his message to hopefully that they'll turn around. And we're going to find out next week that it didn't work too well. Now, when I use the word prophet, I don't mean fortune teller. I mean truth teller. That's what the word means. And they had the work cut out for them, as we said. Would you agree with me that we live in a time that desperately needs truth telling, whether it's about financial issues or marriage issues or parenting issues or even Christianity itself? There's so much confusion about Christianity. Our mission is to bring the message of Christ to this world, message of deliverance, of grace, and of hope. Speak the truth in love. People need to hear it? Absolutely. So we're going to pick four lessons this week and see what God has to say to us. First one comes from the prophet Elijah. We're going to have two prophets with similar names this morning. And point one is make up your mind. Very familiar story about the encounter with the false prophets that he has on Mount Carmel. I just picked three portions of scripture out of the story. So let's start reading. Ahab, he was a bad king, summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Elijah stood in front of them and said, "How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. Just make up your mind." But the people did what? Remained silent. A little farther down. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God. And all the people, what? They agreed. At least they said, okay, we agree to this little test. And then we get to the end of the test. O Lord, Elijah's praying. O Lord, answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you've brought them back to yourself. Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, the dust, even licked up the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and what? Cried out. They spoke up. They decided. They made up their mind. The Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God. Why do so many people have trouble deciding about God? I thought of some basic reasons. One, they enjoy the pleasure of sin. Don't want to give it up. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin. The problem is the kickback is always worse than the kick you get from sin. But people still don't want to give it up. Another reason, I think it's just, I couldn't think of a better word than lazy. Just kind of just let my life keep going like it is. Too lazy to think about serious things. Too lazy to change. Elijah prays. God answers dramatically, provides what he needs, visual proof to the people that he is the true God. Now, God commands you and I to do things also. My question is, will God provide what you and I need to carry out our mission, our calling? Resources we need. I thought of a kind of a silly illustration maybe, but pretty powerful to me. Last week, one of our people attended church here, has a lawn service, and he has some equipment for plowing snow. And he asked us about our parking lot. And we've been using the same guy the last couple of years and so forth. I said, yeah, we got a guy that does it, but he only does the paved part of the lot. That's it. And the gravel part he doesn't do. Now, up until past Sunday, we didn't have a big snow. It hadn't been an issue. We drove on the back part without it being plowed. This week, though, it snowed a lot. But anyway, this guy said, I'll take care of the back parking lot. And that's exactly what he did. And a bunch of us are parked back there this morning. God provided what we needed so that we have space to park. So he'll provide what you need. He'll provide wisdom for your marriage and for your raising your kids, for your family. He'll provide resources. I'm always amazed how there's always resources to help people in need. God provides those. So you and I just need to trust God that he'll provide us with what we need. It brings us to the fill-in. It's time we stepped up and spoke up. Remember, the people at first were silent, and then they kind of said, okay, but then they cried out. It reminded me of Joshua. We studied Joshua a few months ago. They had all their battles. They conquered the promised land. They get ready to occupy it. And then Joshua gives this challenge to the people, right? Fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Get off the fence. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today who you will serve. Pick these gods of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in the land we now live. But as for me and my family, we're deciding, we're making up our minds to serve the Lord. It's a choice. You need to choose. We need to decide. You and I. I got to thinking, can you really straddle the fence? I got to think of some things Jesus said. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You can't straddle the fence. It's not possible. So if you're not serving the Lord, what? You're serving some other god. Again, choose this day who you will serve. It's too important to leave undecided. So let's speak up. Secondly, also from the prophet Elijah, as he chooses his successor, Elisha. Try and keep those separate, okay? A little confusing. And this is not as a well-known story, but this really struck me this week as I read through the chapter. Actually, last week. Elijah went and found Elisha plowing a field. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. This was a sign, a symbol of transferring his authority as the prophet. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah and said to him, first let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go on back, but think about what I've done to you. I've chosen you. So what's Elisha do? Returns to his oxen, slaughters them, uses the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. What was Elisha's livelihood up to this point? Farmer? Farming, right? He had oxen and a plow, right? Elijah gives him this challenge, and what does he do? Kills his oxen and burns up his plow. What has he just done? We would say he burned his bridges behind him. No turning back, right? Go and don't turn back. That's exactly what he did. He couldn't make a living farming anymore. He was 100% assistant to the prophet at this point. Most of you know I'm a history major. This kind of started me thinking in the back of my head. So I was telling Josh, you just Google anything, you can find it nowadays, right? So I Googled this burning the ships thing and found it. Cortez, Spanish conqueror Cortez, when he came to Mexico, conquered the Aztecs, came on like 10, 11 ships, got confusing statistics. But anyway, first thing he did once the men got off the ship was what? He burned all the ships. So the soldiers couldn't do what? Say, we don't want to do this. We want to go back to Spain. All the choice they had was to go forward. It's exactly what God's telling you and I. Burn the bridges behind you. No turning back. go forward. Now, I like to make it a little more positive this way. Make going forward more compelling, more exciting, more rewarding than turning back. And when we think about it, it is, isn't it? Serving the Lord, there's nothing compares to that. That brings us to our next fill-in. It's time we stepped up and lived out our high calling. It's just not pastors and prophets that have high calling, folks. If you're a Christ follower here this morning, even if you're not, God wants to put his hand on your life and give you a calling. There's something he's given you to do that nobody else will do. If you don't do it, it doesn't get done. Some of Jesus' words in Luke. Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. How well does it work to drive forward while you're looking backwards? Some people try and live their lives that way. You can't go very long without disaster, can you? Jesus said, follow me, don't turn around. Love this verse from Revelation. They have kept themselves as pure virgins, following the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. Following the Lamb wherever he goes. So, you ever play follow the leader when you were a kid? Wherever the leader went, wherever they climbed over or ducked under, you went, right? That's how the game works. Well, same thing in the Christian life. Wherever Jesus goes, you and I follow. For us, it was one point to Portugal. wherever, doesn't matter. Wherever he leads, we go. Can you and I kind of pick and choose? Well, I'll follow you today, but tomorrow I'll do something else. Now, we don't get to choose that. There's a little exercise I'll give you. In the third chapter of Genesis, if you underline in your Bible, I do. I don't mind underlining. Or you just pick them out, count them. Every time the phrase is Lord God. Now, remember in the third chapter, that's when sin comes in the world, right? And then you just start reading, the Lord God, the Lord God. Now, I think it's redundant because God is Lord. But just emphasize it. Lord means boss, right? So you get to listen to your boss one day and next day not. How long will you keep your job? Not too long, right? It's the Lord God. Wherever he leads, I'll go. That's a sin, him, isn't it? Wherever he leads, I'll go. Yeah, I'll follow. What about marriage? You know, I'll act like I'm married to you one day a week on Sundays. Okay, dear? The other 6 days of the week, I'll do what I want. Doesn't work that way, does it? Doesn't work that way in Christianity either. So what is your calling? We're all called to be Christ followers. So be a witness and demonstrate Christianity. But some of us calling to be a spouse. Some of us calling to be a parent. Some of us have callings here at church, leadership roles. Whatever your profession is, doesn't have to be a Christian. If you're a carpenter, that's your high calling. That's what God has equipped you and chosen you to be. Some of you, it's students right now. We're going to step up and live out our high calling. Third lesson comes from the prophet Elisha. Pretty dramatic story, too. I don't have time to cover it all. But anyway, Elisha's telling the Israelites how to escape their enemies, the Arameans. And the Armenian king is just getting so frustrated, he can't get them. And finally, he finds out it's Elisha that's doing it, and he finds out Elisha's in Dothan, and he surrounds the city. He said, I'm going to get rid of this guy. And the servant wakes up and sees all the enemies surrounding. He gets all afraid, and Elisha says, don't worry about it. There's more on our side than their side. So he prays that this servant will see the armies of God surrounding him, and he does. And then he blinds all the enemies. And then Elisha does a really interesting thing. He leads all the enemies into the capital of Israel. All right? And that's where we're going to pick up the story. And when the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elisha, my father, should I kill them? Should I kill them? They're our enemies. They're going to kill us. Elisha said, of course not. Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again to their master. So the king made a great feast. In this case, he listened to the prophet. Great feast for them, and then sent them home to their masters. Now, notice the results. So they came back and beat it, they, you know, wiped them out later? The Armenians wiped out the Israelites later? No. They left them alone. They stayed away from the land of Israel. Treat the captives kindly. How do you treat captives? Who are captives? Well, anybody without Christ is a captive, right? A captive to sin. So we're talking about lost people. But then there's Christian people that are the captive to addictions, alcohol, drugs, pornography. Some people are addicted to spending, all these different types of addictions. How do you treat people like that? What helps me is the expression I have, a plaque I have on my desk. But by the grace of God, go I. If my neighbor, when I was a teenager, 13 years old, my neighbor invited our family to church, and if I hadn't gone and if I hadn't accepted Christ, my life could be just like anybody else. I mean, somebody caught in some addiction or lost in sin. But by the grace of God. What did the Israelites do when they came with the prophets gave them the message? They didn't listen. How did it work out? We're going to see next week. They wound up literally as captives. But how do we become captives? Emotionally and so forth. I'm going to show you a clip from a movie about pornography, sexual addictions.
Every addiction starts with a soft choice. It's a quiet compromise. What's the harm? Not hurting anybody. But very few things are as they appear.
I guess I'm here today to communicate that there is an alternative to the pervasive view that this is harmless and this is just the way it is, and that there's no way out, that we are just as a nation supposed to just continue to approve the endless destruction of moral boundaries. That we're just supposed to sit back and say, yeah, that's fine, as marriages continue to fall apart, as people continue to be consumed by addictive life, that we've got to do something about that. If coming to a camera and being candid and saying, this is what God's done in my life, the plan of this was to destroy me and my marriage and our future, and God's turned all that around.
How do we become captives? He said, by choice, by compromise. How do you turn it around? God turned it around, right? Let's get to the fill-in. It's time we stepped up and modeled grace. Why did Jesus come? To zap all the bad people? We're going to read from Luke chapter 4, Jesus' first sermon. He gets up to preach. He uses a text from Isaiah. I believe it's chapter 62. And he said, this is why I come. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. And that time the Lord's favor has come. That was Jesus' ministry. Is that our ministry? Well, we're Christ's followers, right? If that's his ministry, that's our ministry. How does that happen? By condemning all the people that are captives, whatever it might be. How did God set you free? Grace, right? But by the grace of God. God's grace has set you free. And that's what's going to set everybody else free. Can we step up and model grace? Christianity wouldn't have a bad name if we modeled grace, would it? Fourth lesson is probably the most difficult, most powerful. Loyally love. Don't hear the word loyal much. I got thinking. One place we hear it is product loyalty. Some of you guys sell Hondas. One of the advantages of selling Hondas is what? There's a lot of product loyalty. A person buys a Honda, they buy another Honda. Another place we see it is in sports. We got some Dallas Cowboy fans around here. You're still Dallas Cowboy fans, even though Dallas had a losing season this year, right? I've been an Oriole fan for 50 years. The last 10 years, they've never had a winning season, right? We're loyal to products. We're loyal to sports teams. How's our loyalty to God? We're going to be reading from the prophet Hosea, starting with the very first verse. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him. Now notice, this is a prophet, possibly a priest. I don't know. I don't think he was a priest, though. But he was a prophet. Go and marry a prostitute. What? Go and marry a prostitute so some of your children will be conceived in prostitution. Why? God doesn't make any sense. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. So Hosea married Gomer. He did it. And then they have some children. Then she goes back into prostitution, winds up in slavery. And then we're only down to the third chapter of Hosea at this point. And here's what it says. The Lord said to me, go and love your wife again, even though she committed adultery with another lover. This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. And notice the last part. So I bought her back. I try to put myself in Hosea's place. And I would think, God, what are you crazy? What are you thinking? Don't I deserve to have a faithful spouse? And the answer I got back from God was this. Who says? And the next question I got from God was, what do you deserve? And that took me back. Because what do you and I deserve? Hellfire. That's it. That's what you and I deserve. No matter how good you are or think you are. That's all any of us deserve. Is hellfire. God often requires extraordinary obedience. Wouldn't you call that extraordinary obedience? And the question is, how will you and I respond? Can we accept the fact that our pain from our obedience will benefit somebody else? How much was Gomer worth? Actually, nobody else would buy her. Right up, I think, 12 or 15 pieces. Wasn't very much. What's the lesson to you and I? No matter how far you and I have fallen, God is willing to buy us back. And not only buy us back, to lift us to a place of honor as his bride. How amazing is that? Fill in. Time we stepped up and gave up our rights. Folks, you and I don't have any rights as Christ's follower. Hear what Jesus says in Matthew 16. He said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, your cross, and follow me. Try and hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life, give up your rights, for my sake, you will save it. And also in Luke, it says you can't become my disciple without giving up everything you own. How do you and I discover real purpose and meaning in life? Giving our life in service to Christ. That's it. That's how we do it. Should we count the cost? Absolutely. I want to end with a testimony of a man who was committing suicide until he found Christ.
I got to college and I didn't know who God was, but after a while I kind of doubted that he existed. I became agnostic to atheist. I just didn't believe in God at all. It came to a point where I was suicidal. I thought about it a lot. I mean, it got to a point where I didn't care about hurting my parents or anything. I just needed to end the pain. I decided tonight's the night. I'm gonna take my life tonight. I'm just gonna end it. then I was like, before I do this, I'm going to just give this God thing a shot. And I felt kind of silly doing it because I didn't believe in God, but I was desperate. So I got on my knees and I started praying. And I looked up and I was like, if you're real, you better come down here and show yourself to me tonight. I'm going to take my life. I started crying really hard and for some reason, I decided before I take my life, I was going to go out and play basketball just one last time. I'm like out there dribbling the ball, shooting some hoops. And out of nowhere, this guy comes up to me and he's like, can I ask you a question? I was like, yeah, what's up? And he's like, do you believe in Jesus? And I was like, yo, why are you asking me this? And he said, I was at home praying tonight. God spoke to me. God told me to go out and play basketball. And when I saw you, God spoke to me. He told me to go up to you and ask you if you knew Jesus. And I just had to sit down after that, you know? And I told him, I was like, no, I don't know Jesus. I prayed to God for the first time to show himself to me tonight. And you came up and asked me this. So I want you to tell me everything I need to know about Jesus. So he told me everything I needed to know. And I remember that guy's name that came up to me in the basketball court. Isaiah was his name. I looked up his name in the Bible. It said Messenger of God. So, and then at that point, my life just turned around. So John 3:16, right? So God so loved the world. I think what it means to me is he loves the world, you know? He didn't love just you, like me or anyone. He loves everyone.
Study 4 of the 10 prophets, they warned Israel. They didn't listen. And we're going to find out next week what happened. Who would interrupt our worship service this morning? Hello? Who's this? God? What do you want, God? You want to talk to the people? You got a question to ask him? Will you talk? Will you answer? Or will you let it go to voicemail? God is speaking. What are you going to do? Let's pray. Lord God, just blown away by your grace, that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet prostituting ourselves, you died for us, redeemed us, paid for our sin, took our place, and not only bought us, but made us your bride. Amazing, infinite, matchless grace. Father, most of us here are your followers this morning, but most of us will probably have to admit we haven't burned the bridges behind us. Sometimes we follow, sometimes we don't. Forgive us for trying to straddle the fence. Thank you that you do. And God, it's my privilege always to be your spokesman, to share your invitation to be set free. Christ stands with an offer of grace, the gift of salvation. And he hands it, offers it to all. It's your choice this morning. It's always about choices. It's your choice to receive. To have your life turned around like the man on our video. To have purpose and meaning. To have hope. God, we thank you for our hope. And it's just Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think you can probably tell that reading Hosea this week was really difficult this week, especially being a husband. But God loves you so much. He's willing to buy you back from prostitution. How can you refuse such great love? Let us know about your decisions. Any way we can help. Use your cards, please, this morning. Thank you.